Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humblebee Enterprises. I'm excited to be here with two special guests. We have Bill and Dan Robinson, who are the founder and the president of TLS Truckload Services. And before we begin, I just want to say that The Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy is available now as an ebook and a physical book. And if you are into the ebook space, you can get that bad boy from Amazon. And if you want the hard copy, you can get it from Barnes and Noble and all those other places. But look, without further ado, I did just want to say, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. How's everything going so far? I can't believe it's already February.
Yeah, that's right. It's February already, and the winter's been kind to us up here in Montreal, I'll tell you that much. I mean, usually now at this time of the year, we're in the dead of winter, like minus 30 degrees, but this year, yesterday was like plus 8, which is great. Wow.
I couldn't even imagine being up there in minus 30 degree weather. I am located in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's nice and warm. And even my parents, like my family members, they're out of New York and out of Pennsylvania, which is not even as far north as you guys, but I make sure I stay away from that place when it comes to the winter. So I tip my hats to you guys. Warm. Does that feel mild?
Well, it's still somewhat, for us, it's great because this time of the year, like I was saying, is really, really cold, but we're not used to this kind of weather. I mean, majority of the time we have like almost like 5 feet of snow. And just recently for the cool weather and the rain, it's pretty much gone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And are you guys known for being a nice place to go skiing? Do people vacation there to take advantage of some of that snow?
Oh, yes. I mean, I know a lot of the Americans with the U.S. exchange come up and they take the time to go to Mont Tremblant, which is like maybe about 45 minutes away or maybe an hour away from our office from where we live as well. But yeah, a lot of people come up here for skiing in the winter months.
Maybe I need to bring my family up there. Maybe that'll be a good experience for them. And the funny part is you speak about it being unseasonably warm. That is the catchphrase that surmised my trip to Alaska a few years ago. I went there to see the Northern Lights, and because it was unseasonably warm, there was an overcast the entire time. So,
oh, really?
Yes, it was. So very interesting that, you know, I'm talking to you guys and that's the exact case right now. But look, without further ado, I did want to ask you guys, for the people who have not had an opportunity to encounter you two in the past, can you each introduce yourself? And if there's no particular order you guys wanted to go in, I would say, Bill, you founded this organization. Did you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I got into the trucking industry when I was 15 years old, and I've been in it 65 years. So I'm a little bit beyond your age, but not by much. I've always liked the trucking industry, and it's changed a lot, but the basics are still there. You service your customer, keep them happy. Makes life a lot easier. Good employees. I started TLS in 82, and I brought my son on in 84.
85.
There's lots of year again.
But also your father, my grandfather was in the industry.
Yeah, my father was in the trucking industry.
Oh, nice. So this is a true legacy right here. This is a generational thing.
Yeah, generational.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for that background, Bill. What about you, Dan?
Well, presently, as you're saying, I'm the president of the company. I took over the ownership back in 2000. I remember the day when my dad asked me first to start with the company. I had gone to pick him up at a local restaurant, and he had some of his customers with him. And he sat me down and he said, and I still remember this day, saying, are you ready to get into this? And this is going back to like, I was just like 1 year out of high school, college. And I decided to do it, and I've never looked back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, and the funny thing is, a lot of the people who I interview, they had no idea that they would be in the supply chain. And the fact that you come from, again, the lineage of individuals who are in transportation and even in freight forwarding, before you were approached, did you have an idea, an inkling that that was going to be your life?
Oh, not me. No, not at all. I didn't think so. I mean, my dad at the time, he was prior to just opening TLS, he was regional manager for Glengarry Transport at the time. He used to work me hard in the summers to go cut grass, load trucks, drive forklift. And even at that time, at 15 years old, I wasn't really sure the direction. I thought I'd be more like a computer programmer or something at the time. But again, I'm glad that he brought me into the business in 1985, because if not, I wouldn't be as fortunate as I am today.
What I found out is a lot of people who didn't traditionally start in the transportation industry, but they had a background in numbers or accounting or anything like banking, even, that they did really, really well once they entered the transportation industry, the trucking industry. With you saying you were probably going to be in coding or something of that nature, you think that was one of the reasons why, you know, maybe you picked it up easy too, because ultimately it is driven a lot by numbers?
That's right. And at the time when I started, there wasn't any computers really. There was more, say, like telex, and then the fax machine came along, and then the old dial-up modem. But in this industry, I find what you need is a good memory no matter what, because even though that you have, you know, computers you can reference to the dispatch programs and everything else to again, you know, compare rates and lanes and numbers, but you need a good memory.
Yes, sir. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing that, and tell us what are the services that are being currently provided by TLS Truckload Services. That's quite a bit of services that I'm pretty sure you've grown. You've grown from what the original concept was from 1982. What was the first thing that you guys added from the original model?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We sell service and not price.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in my professional career is you are going to grow if you give the proper customer service. So yeah, treating definitely. People with respect, treating people with all of the bells and whistles that you will want somebody to treat you with is exactly how you're going to keep that customer and have them speak to their friends and their colleagues about your services. So I'm happy, Bill, that you mentioned that, because if we're talking about new people to the game, folks who are just considering starting companies, becoming entrepreneurs, those are the basics. Those are the foundational pieces that they may need to hear now, you know, to make sure that they're putting themselves on the way, a path towards success. So thank you for sharing that, Bill. And how's the cross-border industry today between U.S. and Canada? Is it full throttle after the pandemic, or has things slowed down a bit?
After the pandemic, no, it's still been very, very lucrative and very busy for us. I mean, you know, like was mentioned before, the services that we provide, because we're diversified from truckload to LTL, which would primarily be van freight, we also do a lot of dimensional freight as well. Like we do drop decks, step decks, extendables. We do a lot of dimensional. And because of that, I find that a lot of the volume is primarily that we do is between, you know, United States and Canada. So it's been busy for us. It hasn't really slowed down yet. I know the economy is in a lull right now, but I'm hoping that we continue the route that we've been being successful and busy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you for speaking on that. Yeah, overdimensional. I just actually had an interview with a brother that lives in the New Orleans area, New Orleans, Louisiana. And that is his whole entire business is oversized, you know, heavy. Yeah. And he's made a pretty lucrative business, it's a very niche industry, just like you would imagine. But yeah, I'm happy to hear that those are also services that you guys are providing, because again, your customers need them and not everybody can deal. If there were any headaches that are associated with cross-border operations, what would you say, maybe so that somebody else can be aware and understand how to navigate those?
I guess primarily, I mean, I find that pricing, again, has become an issue where if you have clients who don't want to pay a premium or pay at least a modest, decent price to have their freight moved, and you try to move their freight at a cheap rate, you run into issues where you can't find the proper legitimate licensed carriers. And some of these carriers that are out there, which, you know, are somewhat non-licensed, and they act as if they are, they take their freight from you. And unfortunately, what ends up happening is they don't service you, or then you have issues that come across where they continue lying to you and they don't pick up the freight. And then you have a dissatisfied, unhappy client. So there's a lot of challenges when it comes to, you know, trying to find the proper partners in providing you your services.
Good point. Good point right there. That's a huge thing in America, where we now have all these service providers that are specifically about catching those perpetrators, those perps. The perps who say that they are licensed. And so fraud is a huge thing, especially when it comes to a post-COVID society. I think even over the past year, it's probably been more cases of fraud and cargo theft than any time before. So I'm happy you brought that up. When you're talking about some of the service providers who are saying that they can do these things, Canadian based, or is it more US based, trying to falsify their abilities?
They're on both sides. I mean, we've dealt with carriers that have done this to us. We've also dealt with American. Majority of our business, we're direct. I would say 95% of our business comes from direct clientele. Mm-hmm. But at times, we do reach out, or Americans brokers will reach out to us to ask them to assist us in moving northbound freight into Canada. And what does happen is these brokers will give us, these other 3PL logistics companies, we will service them. We'll do a, like an Equifax or like a Dun and Brad. We'll definitely do a credit check on the companies. But what we also have always concerned ourselves with is we never know exactly how financially they're strong they are, even though some of these references do give them like a 3-star. We never know what kind of what do they exactly do with their money when it comes time to having to pay people on the 30-day terms. And it just seems like a lot of the times they just become delinquent, and you're chasing them and you never get your monies.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely hear you there. And I think a big push over the past 5 to 10 years is this whole concept of factoring, not only to motor carriers, to the truckers, but brokers, brokerages, and other 3PLs having their own relationships with these various factoring companies. So I'm happy that you're mentioning this for something that a company can look out for before they even engage in certain business with certain individuals or certain companies. But yeah, the whole factoring for brokerages, that's a huge business right now. So big shout out to Denim, Denham is one of those factoring companies that provides those services. And also shout out to OTR Solutions, because they also do that as well. And even when it comes to other ways to vet your carriers, again, so many different companies have popped up in the United States who are focused on eliminating fraud, you know, because it's really been hurting our industry. And with rates being what they are, as we're in the downswing of the transportation cycle, we don't need fraudsters taking the little bit of money that is there. So yeah, so also big shout out to Highway and My Carrier Packets. Those are two other service providers who are providing value in that area. So yeah, again, thank you for sharing that. I know that you guys are doing a lot of things internationally as well. And I know we've been talking about the cross-border Canada to U.S. and U.S. to Canada. Are you guys involved on the U.S. to Mexico and vice versa lanes?
Yes. Matter of fact, for the last 3 years, we've been representing CN, and we have a exclusive contract with them where we move a lot of northbound freight out of Mexico into primarily Canada, but we also move a truckload freight into the United States. We as well move freight from Canada into primarily Mexico with CN as well. We've taken on a rail comparable to truckload, or working with carriers or Canadian carriers due to the fact that the CN allows us very competitive pricing. And at the same time, you can put more weight into the containers with CN, which again, after you've moved maybe about a comparable, you can move four loads at the price of three with a over the road transportation company. So you do save money on moving the shipments with the CN.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. For people who don't really have a relationship with intermodal or with rail, when we're talking about being able to ship more weight per container around, you know, if you had to compare, how much additional can you put in the container for the rail versus it being a truck move?
Primarily, you can get more about on a rail intermodal. You can get anywhere from, I would say, 8 to 10,000 pounds additional freight.
Wow.
In a rail car or rail container.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference.
Oh, it makes a huge difference, definitely. I mean, we've taken the time since, pre-COVID, I'd say 2019, 2018, we've invested in Mexico. We presently have two employees who work full-time for us. We've actually just hired another Mexican sales representative that's going to be watching the or selling traffic between U.S. and Canada going into Mexico, which again they're going to work with CN as well. So we really find that the Mexican market is going to be somewhat comparable to, I guess, if you want to look at as Asia. They're becoming strong in the market, Mexico. So we've decided that it was worth our time in it to invest, and it's working out for us quite lucrative as well.
Yes, sir. No, that's correct. I mean, Mexico has definitely taken over as the number one country that we trade with. We being the United States now, definitely surpassed any Asian country. So the fact that you guys had the foresight, the trend to nearshore was really starting to happen. I'm very happy that you guys were able to take advantage of that and get your roots down there. And now you have multiple sales professionals that are even helping drive new business. So kudos to you guys for seeing it and implementing that change. I know that you guys do a lot. Is there a certain commodity or industry segment that you guys like to focus on more than others, like agriculture or, you know, anything?
Well, I mean, right now for the Mexico market, we're primarily more in sync in handling automotive parts.
Yes, sir.
That's primarily what we do with the CN. But overall, I mean, we have such a range of commodities that we service our clients that can be anywhere from aluminum ingots to hazmat materials to plastics to mold injection machines. So we touch on a lot, but most of our commodities that we do are higher end commodities that, you know, customers will pay that additional extra money to make sure that, you know, they don't get any headaches. It's one call that they feel confident with us and the shipments get done. So it becomes worry free.
Yes, sir. What's an example of something that's high value that a customer would be, you know, more in line to pay that premium versus a commodity that you stay away from because you know it's low margin and it's a headache?
Oh, well, low margin, that's stuff that we try to stay away. You know, like, for example, if you're going to be moving, cotton balls or moving plastic cups, you know, those are the lower end commodities. And whereas we try to focus, like, one of the commodities that are higher end for us is moving the injection molding machines for the automotive industry that they transport between Canada and U.S. and into Mexico, that they will, again, spend the additional money because very time sensitive. And everything that's involved between moving it from Canada down to Mexico through El Paso and taking the proper steps to making sure all the custom documents are done and cleared. Again, that customers pay the additional to have it serviced.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And look, staying with that international mindset, has there been any disruption maybe, or even any additional considerations you guys have had to make when it comes to lower water levels, canal, and maybe even the situation that's going on in the Middle East? Anything that you guys have had to do differently or consider because of those two obstacles?
The only thing that I could kind of say that we've encountered recently is would be, as you're aware, with the canal, the deep sea, where all the container ocean liners are going through presently with Yemen and them obviously attacking the ships and such, that you will have to divert the ships. Well, I mean, obviously it's not us who diverts, but it's the ocean liners who take a different route than path, which in turn you have to encounter rate adjustments because of the fact that they're changing their routes, which is a longer route to reach anywhere from, let's say, Asia into North America. But, you know, keeping our customers informed of all these things, which we try to do regularly, at least once they're informed, they're aware, and it's easier for them to accept and digest when any pricing changes.
Yes, sir. A lot of these things you cannot predict, and mm-hmm. you really just have to adjust and communicate it in such a way where the customer knows it's just one of those things that you can't prevent this. I mean, when it comes to the domestic truckload side of things, that's my background, is really doing trucking, moving dry vans, reefers, and all that kind of stuff. But in that world, the clause is considered a force majeure, where it's an act of God. You could not say that there was going to be a drought, and you could not say that there was going to be some protests, or in this case, attacks.
That's so, right, attacks. Yeah.
So it's it makes it challenging for everybody involved. But what's the best way to approach your customer to tell them that? Because they're seeing a quote, they're accepting that rate, and when things change, people have to be informed. So what's the best way to keep the customer happy and informed, but also break the news that potentially more money is going to be required to do the same service?
Well, majority of the time, it's best, like you were saying before, communication. And a lot of the times we'll take news clippings from various sites and we review them. Some of the managers, we look at them, we decide to determine which best put a news clipping together to send it to our clients. And that's majority of the way we communicate with them. And then some of the clients, well, we take out for lunch and we have a nice lunch and a beer with them and we explain the situation and they understand that as well.
Yes, sir. I bet it helps when you have already built rapport with your customer when you have to do something like that. That's what you basically said is this is not just a strictly business relationship where it's cut and dry. You have developed real relationships, which helps when you have to break news like this. So I hope that individuals listening in can also take that point into play, that logistics and most other, I'm going to leave it to logistics. Transportation and logistics is relationship driven. So being able to have these conversations when you're friendlier, when you've already built that relationship, it just makes it a lot easier.
It makes it a lot easier. And my dad, I have a majority of me in old school. I'm only 58. I've been in it like 40, 39 years, I guess. But my dad has taught me that, which a lot of the younger generation seem to have forgotten, which goes a really, really long way, is being able to have that, that personal relationship with your customers, that personal touch, and taking them out once in a while to maybe a hockey game, see Montreal against New York Rangers, whatever it may be. At least you have that 3 hours with them. You have conversation. It might not be about business, but it's that personal relationship you build. And it goes a really, really long way. And I'm hoping that down the road, the younger generation understand that it's just not picking up the phone and trying to make that sale. It's also taking the other steps to get out there, jump in your car, drive, go see them, say hi to them, bring them some donuts, a coffee, spend 10 minutes with them. And it goes a long, long way.
Yes, sir. Thank you again for sharing that.
For about 20 years, maybe 30, I used to take off twice, once in the spring, once in the fall, and drive down through the East Coast, down into Georgia, over to Alabama. And I see 40 to 45 customers twice a year.
Wow.
And I got to know them. And they got to know me. And they got to know my people. And when I said, gave them my word, I followed up. If I go and lose money in a loan, I lost money. And I made a mistake. It's not their problem. But people got to know me that, and I used them as references. And it helped a lot. I had one in customer in Griffin, Georgia. They said, we got a special case. There's loads of rubber we're bringing out of Magog, Quebec. And they said, we want to have a driver at the door in our shipping within 2 hours or 3 hours. We call you anytime, 365 days a year. I came back with them with a rate. The guy accepted it, and we worked for about 2 years. And I had drivers with cell phone. Back then, and cell phones like this, they looked like a small case of beer. But they were huge. But it's two drivers at all times had these on them, and if they got a call, they jumped in their car, party time, it's winter time, no matter what, Christmas Day, and they took off and picked up these loads and headed for Georgia. And it was an expensive price, but they got the service. There's always a way to give the customer service.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. You're right. Sometimes you got to get out of your own backyard to go visit other people, to really let the world know exactly what services you're providing. I take that as you got to get out of your comfort zones if you want to grow your business. And you brought up something that made me think about what's currently happening in America. There were a lot of truckers, a lot of motor carriers that went and got their authorities, their ability to operate as a commercial trucking company during the pandemic. And now it's they're leaving the industry left and right in droves. And I just wanted to know, like, is that was that same thing happening to Canadian trucking companies? And if so, like, have a lot of them started to go out of business?
I mean, due to the fact that we've been in business for so long, I haven't noticed any challenges when it's come to that. I know that a lot of the relationships that we've had, that we do have with our carriers have been, some of them have been 40 years and some of them been 10 years and 2 years. But recently, no, I haven't noticed any real change when it comes to any companies having leaving the industry or going bankrupt.
Yeah, no, this is a huge thing in America, so much so that even as recent as 2023, a top five largest LTL carrier, you've probably heard of Yellow before. You know, bankrupt, and their assets have been getting sold off left and right over the past few months, where a lot of the other LTL providers have been able to gobble up the things that were of value. Yellow was the largest entity to fall, but I've been seeing organizations that have 100 trucks, 70 trucks, 50 trucks, 40 trucks, been in business for 30, 40 years in America, just dropping like flies, unfortunately. And maybe it's a good thing that you don't have that exposure in Canada right now. Maybe it hasn't affected you guys in that way, but that's definitely the headline around the United States right now when it comes to the trucking industry as a whole. It's been on the downswing for at least the last 26 months. And we're expected to make it to the other side of that swing this year. If I had to call it, I'd probably say towards the end of Q2, beginning of Q3. But it's been a pruning for sure. People have been it hasn't been the easiest situation for American truck drivers and truck companies. But but that's the reason why I brought that up. That's exactly why I brought that up.
Yeah, Yellow and Roadway merged back a long time ago. And that's what made them the biggest. And I imagine they kept the union and union wages on, where these other guys starting up, they put 25 immigrants on a trucks and send them out there half the cost of drivers. So the American driver who's been working for 25, 30 years for a company, all of a sudden is faced with no job because somebody cut the rates and he's got no more money to buy groceries. It's the same all across North America. I mean, we've become so cost conscious. We're all, I like to say my wife sometimes, everybody become a Walmart buyer. Nobody wants to go and buy down the street because it's 10 cents more.
Canadian American made, right?
Right. Yeah, man. So it's a lot of things going on that's driving our economy right now, driving the amount of freight the truck driver is being required to actually move it. A lot of things driving that, but
there is. Yeah. And then the other challenges too, I find in the industry, where you have a lot of the older drivers that are retiring, and then you have the younger drivers generation coming in, and they don't understand, like, when you are a truck driver, you're a professional, and it takes away from your family life that, you know, drivers are gone for a long period of time. And I think the industry is changing and having difficult times trying to find to replace the retired older truck drivers versus bringing in the newer generation. And it's again, making it just difficult to replace them.
Yes, sir. Agreed. Thank you so much, fellas, for the insights. Anything that we haven't had a chance to cover so far about your services, any announcements that you guys have, anything at all that comes to mind?
No, I think basically we've touched on everything, like we've said, from being a 3PL, servicing everywhere in North America, having our location and office in Mexico. We do the imports, exports for the 20s and 40s and LCLs between Asia, Europe, and various other countries back into Canada, U.S. We also have our warehousing, like I've mentioned. And also we have a small trucking division called T2 Transport, which as well is blended in with our added value services for servicing customers from Montreal into southern East Coast United States, from anywhere from Virginia down to northern Florida. We run equipment weekly. We do LTL of a variety of different commodities, but that's another small part of our services we offer.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for that. Well, I think that we are coming to a close of the session. Did you guys have any closing remarks?
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this for us. I mean, it's our first time my dad and I have done a podcast. I hope we've answered the questions to intrigue the viewers out there. And thanks again.
Yeah, definitely. No, this is a pleasure. Again, this is what it's all about, being able to take organizations like you guys who have worked hard to build something that's, synonymous with quality and all the services that you guys are providing. So, no, it's my pleasure to have you guys on. So thank you again for accepting the invitation. And as we did close, I want to go ahead and give a huge shout out to our sponsor, who is Tie Software. So whether you're a brokerage specializes in the LTL or full truckload, they can service you, and tell them that Jory sent you. Thank you again, fellas, and everybody be blessed.
Thank you, Jory.
Great question. I heard a rumor that there's no more traffic in Atlanta.
Nope, that rumor is not true. That rumor is not true, brother. It is alive and well. Well, thank you for that.
Right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Y'all too now.
Thanks.